Let's open our Bibles again in the book of Judges, chapter 16. And I want to draw your attention to the latter part of verse 20. These words with regard to Samson. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Judges 16, in the last few words of the 20th verse. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Let's ask the Lord's help in prayer. Heavenly Father, we look to thee to draw near to us. O Lord, thou art a great God. We rejoice in all that thou art, in all thine attributes, in all your mercy and grace, in all that thou hast done, that thou art sovereign, and thou doth rule over all. Lord, these things are a comfort to our hearts, that thou art a great and good God. Lord, we pray that thou might then speak to us. Lord, how we need help from thyself. Lord, we know the preacher can say the things, but Lord, we need thee to speak. Away beyond the preacher's voice, Lord, we pray for the speaking of the Holy Spirit. Lord, speak to us. Lord, may we hear thy challenge. For Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen. It's very evident that God often raises up particular men to meet particular and special circumstances, men who stand out, men who meet the demands of the occasion. I think, for example, that figure that arises from not so far back in history, in the Second World War, that great war leader, Sir Winston Churchill. He's been voted the greatest Briton because of his leadership at that time. We think of others in the history of the church, bold men like Martin Luther in Germany, or John Knox in the Reformation, men who took a bold stand for Christ, men for the hour. And in the Bible, I think of Samson in just that way. You see, we've got to remember that at this time, the nation of Israel had been made subservient to the Philistines, and the spirit of the people had been broken and crushed. So God raised up a man to be a thorn in the side of the Philistines, and to loosen the hold which they held over Israel. Always remember that Samson was called of God, according to Judges chapter 13, verse 5, to begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. The task would be completed by Samuel and then David, of course. But Samson's job was to begin to break that hold. That Samson was raised up of God is evident in that he is one of, I think, only two people in the Old Testament whose birth was announced beforehand, the other being Isaac. And we remember how an angel appeared to Samson's mother and announced his birth. He was therefore a special sort of individual. And his mighty exploits are clearly ascribed to the power of God upon him. We can read about him fighting with great numbers, with only the jawbone of an ass, or, as we read, escaping from Gaza by carrying away the gates of the town. We have a picture of a man endued with supernatural strength. And yet, the greatness of his deeds are in our minds set against his terrible failures. And they bring an awful concern to us that a man who was capable under God of so much could fail so decisively. And that ought to make us think. I feel at the moment highlighted in our text is one of special significance. It's drawn to our attention by the Holy Spirit, where it says, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. It's the moment when we're told that the Lord had departed from him. And it's a moment of tragedy. Here's a man raised up of God. His birth is prophesied, is mentioned. He's anointed the Spirit of God. He does mighty deeds. And yet there's this moment of tragedy where he wist not the Lord was departed from him. That ought to make us think. It ought to remind us that a man or woman could be greatly used of God and yet lose out completely with the Lord. And that means this text is a challenge to us all. You see, first of all, we note that this text shows us that a godly person could lose out with the Lord without being conscious of it. They could lose out with the Lord without being conscious of it. For here's a man of whom it says, he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. That's the first thing we notice here. He was a child of God who had lost it with the Lord, and Samson was a genuine child of God, and yet comes to the time when the Lord departs from him. In addition, he's not just a child of God. We remember how you turn to Hebrews 11 sometime and you'll find his name mentioned there as one of the great heroes of faith. It's possible, you see, for someone who's done much for the Lord, who's there in that highest category, to be counted among the very foremost of God's people, to lose out with the Lord. I often think of a man that Paul named in the last chapter of the last letter, I believe, that he wrote. He says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas had been a companion of the apostles. His name appears at the end of several epistles. Paul mentioned this man on those occasions. He had mentioned his name when sending greetings to the churches. And yet, he fled Paul, left Paul at the last for the world. This must be a warning to us. So here we read of Samson, that this man, this great man, lost out with the Lord by the Lord departing from him. It doesn't mean that he was unconverted. That doesn't mean he'd lost his salvation. The Bible doesn't teach that it's possible to be a genuine child of God and to be lost. But what it means was he lost many of the privileges in this world which he had previously enjoyed as a believer. He had lost out with the Lord. And I've got to put it to you then. I've got to ask you the question. Is there someone here and you've lost out with the Lord? You're not what you once were. Because you know it can happen without you being aware of it. That's what it says of Samson. He wist not that the Lord had departed from him. Now that could happen to any of us. Is there someone here, and you need to stop and to think and ask yourself the question, have you lost out with the Lord without being aware of it? You're not what you once were. We think of Hosea chapter 7, verse 9. We have these words speaking of Ephraim. The prophet says, strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, grey hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. There's a similar sort of thing. You'd almost think those words were written about Samson, but they're not. They're written about a nation. Samson, his strength had been devoured. The grey hairs, as it were upon him, and he wasn't conscious of it. Could those words have been written about you? Let me ask you again. Is it possible that you have lost out with the Lord without being conscious of it? Remember what stands out here in both these scriptures, Judges 16 and Hosea 7 that we've read from. It emphasizes how it happened without it being aware of them, them being aware of it. It means it didn't happen overnight. How did he lose out with the Lord? Well, Samson lost his consecration to God. I believe the Lord departed from Samson because Samson departed from him. What happened to Samson? Well, the words tell us. He thought he could go out and shake himself as at other times. That reminds us that over a period of time, Samson had been playing with sin and allowing himself to become entangled in circumstances that he ought not to be involved in. At other times, he had put himself into danger, but God in his mercy had recovered him. But now at the last, he'd given away not only the secret of his strength, but telling Delilah of the significance of his uncut hair. But he had lost his hair, and with it lost the last evidence of his consecration to God. A Christian can lose his or her consecration to God. They can lose that consecration. They can lose the blessing. They can lose the favor of God. They can become careless. You can become cold. And their lives begin to show little evidence of true heart warmth toward Christ, true devotion to Christ. Maybe that's you. You don't pray the way you used to pray.
You don't read your Bible the way you used to read the Bible. You don't have the hunger for the Word of God you once had. There was a time perhaps you prayed about knowing God's will for your life. You don't have that concern now. And you've begun to allow into your lives things that once you wouldn't have tolerated. The things that you would have turned away from now, maybe even enjoy them. What has happened? Have you lost out with the Lord? Do you know one aspect of the danger that's here is in verse 19. We have this picture of Samson. And where is he? He's asleep on Delilah's knee. Oh, he's so comfortable, isn't he? Look at the picture of him. There he is, asleep on Delilah's knees. And she has soothed him to sleep. And while he's asleep, then Delilah shaves off the mark of his consecration. It was a very comfortable moment for him, even though very dangerous. And perhaps there's someone here, and that's just what's happened to you. You're not what you were, but you're very comfortable. Maybe that's part of the problem. Once you were involved in the work, once you were going on with the Lord, but it wasn't easy, and there were battles to be fought, and you become weary, and you drew back, and you take it easier, and it's all very comfortable now. And could it be you've gone to sleep in the arms of Delilah? Yes, maybe you've gone back into the world. And you're going to wake with your lock shaved and the Lord gone. And a moment of crisis is going to come and the enemy will come upon you. And you'll discover to your horror that the Lord's departed from you. What are you going to do then? Well, my job this morning is to awaken you now. Rather than wait until the enemy comes upon you, is to try and startle you awake now. Remember how the captain said to Jonah, "Awake thou sleeper. Awake, believer, awake it up. Think of this." But then secondly, we can say this, that when the Lord withdraws from Samson, he pays a terrible price. Well, he lost his strength. That's very evident, isn't it? He lost his strength. He was bound with fetters of brass. That had never happened to him before. Oh, time and again they had tried to bind him. He'd always burst the bonds, scattered his enemies. But now he's lost his strength. Have you lost your strength? Has the world finally got you shackled? You never thought it would happen to you, but it has happened. He not only lost his strength, he lost his freedom. He's under a strait now. He's grinding in the prison house. That task was usually that of an animal. Now Samson's playing that part. In other words, he's the devil's ass now. Is that where you are? Is that why your voice is seldom heard in the place of prayer? Is that why life has become a labour to you? Maybe a pointless labour at that. Just going round in circles like that ass going round the grinding stone. That's what life is like for Samson now. He's lost out with the Lord and life has become truly a grind. Could that be true in your life? Maybe you've sat down at times and wondered where has all gone wrong. Of course, he also lost his joy. There's not much joy to be found in a prison house, is there? Have you lost your joy? Is that maybe why you don't sing the way you used to do? You know, you can tell a lot by how a person sings. I can remember, I was saved at the age of 12. Came home from a meeting and went to my bedroom and asked the Lord to save me. I never told anybody, but a week or two later, my mother said to me, "Are you saved?" I was astounded. How did you know? Because of how you're singing in church. I wanted to express how I felt. I hadn't been courageous enough to tell people. But it came out. Maybe you don't have the heart for it now because there's something that's happened. You've lost out and you don't have pleasure in the presence of the Lord as you once did. And then, of course, isn't it evident too that Samson lost his vision? They put his eyes out. Have you lost your vision? Once your eyes are on the Lord, once your eyes were in heaven, Once you were thrilled by the thought of the coming of the Lord and meeting the Lord and gaining your heavenly reward, and you prayed and you witnessed to others with joy in your heart, and you longed that they might understand how happy you were. You enjoyed the fellowship of God's people and the warmth of God's presence in your life. You loved to get down with your Bible in the place of secret prayer. It's all gone now. You've lost your vision. In effect, you're in the prison house of your own choosing. You're held by a chain of your own forging. Of course, then Samson lost more. He lost his reputation, didn't he? He lost his testimony. There was a time when to mention the name of Samson, the Philistines trembled. They feared him. What happens to him? They're laughing at him now. They bring him out to make sport of him. Probably someone pokes at him or says something to him. He's blind, he can't see them. And they're all having a great laugh at his antics now. He's a laugh. The world's laughing at him now. Who's laughing at you? Is the devil laughing at you? That's the devil having a good laugh. He says, there's that man, that woman, the young person. Oh, how they prayed against me. Not praying much now, are they? Not doing very much now against me. Oh, I've got them in my hands. I've got them under control. Who's laughing now? Maybe he once feared your labours for the Lord. He doesn't fear you now. You've lost out. And you know, there's nothing the world likes laughing at more than a Christian who's lost out with the Lord. I remember meeting one day a group of men in a particular circumstance, one of which I took as a professing Christian. I spoke to him in greeting, and they all laughed at him, because they knew that while he professed to be a Christian, they knew the way he was living. And they asked me, do you know him? Is the world laughing at you because of what's gone wrong? You know, as I read this passage, I would suggest it was the laughter of his enemies that stirred Samson once more. Look at those verses 25 and 26. And it came to pass that when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make a sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house. And he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon him. And then it's then verse 28, he begins to say, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be avenged, once avenged of the Philistines for my two enemies. It would almost seem it's the laughter of the enemies that stirs his heart. I'm going to stop them laughing. Oh, that you might be stirred by the mockery of the world to get back to the Lord and to be something of what you once were. Then lastly, we can say this. We can see from this that from the Lord's withdrawal, there can be recovery. You may have lost out with the Lord and not even realized it. But there can be a recovery. The devil is a powerful foe, but thankfully, in spite of all that, the Lord can make a fool of him. He can be too sure of himself. And he was too confident about holding on to Samson, for verse 22 tells us, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. You see, the Bible mentions that. It mentions it because there's a significance to it. That's why it's mentioned. What is the significance of? It's surely a sign of renewing devotion. A sign of Samson realizing that they're all gone wrong and he needed to try and put things right at the last, at least. Have you allowed the devil to strip you of power and effectiveness? Have you become concerned about it? Let me ask you, have the hairs, as it were, of your consecration begun to grow again? You're not what you were, but you're concerned about it. And you long to be what you once were and to be useful. You can imagine Samson putting his hand to his head and feeling the roughness of the stubble hair. And he, He's conscious of it's growing again. Is there any sign of new spiritual growth with you? Is there not that yearning in your heart to get back to the Bible? To get back to the Word of God, to get at the Scriptures again, and to set aside time every day, whether it's the morning or evening time, or maybe at lunchtime when you have time. Maybe you're eating your lunch, maybe in a van, maybe in a place of work or whatever. You have a little time and you can go aside with the Scriptures and begin to read, and to, as you read, to pray that God would have mercy upon you and make you back to what you were. Has there been no desire in your heart to begin to pray again? You know, sometimes the Lord has to put us on our back to get us to pray. You know, if the Lord wanted to, he could make us pray. The Lord could say, I'll make you to pray. You finish up in a hospital, very ill, and you'll pray. But the Lord hasn't done that maybe with you. He's been gracious to you. He's speaking to your heart. He's saying to you, time for you to get back to the Bible. Time for you to get back to prayer. Maybe there's been sorrow over what you've been lost. That's good. You know, sometimes sorrow is a good thing. It shows a person's concern. Maybe you have lifted up your heart to God. Those things can be like growth of Samson's hair. There's hope for you. Let me say this, no matter how far you've drifted, remember those words in Deuteronomy 4, verse 29. It says this, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. If from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Will you do that? Will you seek the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul? Will you do that? Really meaning business with the Lord. Really meaning business. Samson did that. We see it in this tremendous cry. And God heard this cry. So the Philistines received from his hands a mighty blow, which they would never forget. God answered his cry, and God will answer your cry. If you come to him and say, Lord, I've drifted. I'm not what I was, but I want to be what I once was. You know what? To me, it's very easy to drift in these days in which we live. It's hard sometimes to be a Christian these days. The very atmosphere seems to be against us. But I would call you back to the Lord. Back to fervency for the Lord. To live out for the Lord. Make your life count for the Lord. After all, what does your life amount to? What is it going to amount to when it's all over? You know, you lift the newspaper, you read the obituary of people. You can read anything in an obituary, I suppose. But what could be written in heaven about you? Will you count there? May the Lord be pleased to work on our lives again. And if there's drift or coldness, may we know his Spirit come and work with us again and help us in whatever days or time we have left, to be so used in him that the enemy will not forget what we have done for the Lord. They never forgot what Samson did at the last. They would never forget that great destruction. And may the Lord make us as effective for him, even in our latter days. And may Christ be exalted and gloried in it all. Amen. Let's turn to our closing hymn. 640, this great hymn, this great prayer in effect. O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Revive thy church with life and power. O breath of life, come cleanse, renew us. And fit thy church to meet this hour. 640.